Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to check in with the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting Retention Battalion, learn about the Wells Fargo Military and Veterans Affairs Program, and see what the Minnesota Patriot Guard has been up to. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Being a traditional Guard member, drilling primarily one weekend a month, means nearly all of our soldiers and airmen have other careers and other responsibilities outside of their military service. Two of the most prominent of these responsibilities are family and employment. The Minnesota National Guard recognizes this challenge of balancing responsibilities and provides resources to assist. Our family programs team works tirelessly to support our military families. They offer military youth programs, transition assistance for members preparing to leave the military, and a connection to other valuable resources. Our Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve program, known as ESGR, ensures that employers understand exactly what it means to employ a Guard member. The ESGR program also recognizes the standout companies in our community who provide exceptional support to our Guard members. Be it at home, at the office, or in uniform, we'll all do a better job and feel better about it if we've got the right support. Here in Minnesota, we've got that support.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said in the opening, we're going to check in with the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And joining me now to talk about them is Chief Warrant Officer 4, Eric Hommie. Chief, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Sir, my understanding is warrant officers, they go 1, 2, 3, 4, and you're right at the top, Chief Warrant Officer 4. How long have you been in the Army to achieve that?
I've been in the Army 33 years, became a warrant officer in 2007. There is one more rank. There is a 5. That's the unicorn out there, but there is one more out there for me to go for.
And is there one of those in the Minnesota Army National Guard?
There are 14 of them, actually. So.
Oh, well, you've got to stay in a few more years.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
Right.
Well, Chief, we want to talk today about the Minnesota Army National Guard and the really important job that you do in the Recruiting and Retention Battalion, because as I understand it, you've got a lot of people that retire. You've got a lot of people that maybe don't make it to retire and decide they've had enough of the Army. And so you've got about, I think, 12,000 soldiers in the Minnesota Army National Guard.
Yep, just about.
And some of those are enlisted, some of them are warrant officers, and some of them are officer corps. But I want to talk about the basic enlistees, the soldiers. With all those people retiring and getting out every year, you must have – are you replacing about 10% of those every year, or how many?
I would say it's more like 15%. So the standard mission of the Recruiting Retention Battalion is really to keep up with the losses in the force and in growth if we have it. So every year our enlisted force, you know, turns over about 15%, and that's the main driving effort for them.
And, of course, in any branch of the service, you're going to have some people that start out at the bottom, and it is a pyramid as you go up. There's fewer and fewer as the ranks go up, and you kind of expect some of that to happen via retirement and people that just maybe don't think it's a career. But you've always got to replace those, and we've heard over the last 9 years or so doing this show that the Adjutant General want some diversity in the force. They want the force to look like the makeup of the people of Minnesota. How do you accomplish that?
Well, it's accomplished. It's not a simple task. You know, really, this effort started many years ago in the Recruiting Retention Battalion, and it's really focusing and open up your markets and what you're looking at for applicants coming in, getting into the right communities and recruiting, and actually going back to hiring the right recruiters with maybe some diverse background that can go into those markets and open up some avenues that we've never been in before. So.
And, Chief, your battalion is a little different from any other battalion because your NCOs that are out there recruiting are spread all over Minnesota. I think you get together a couple times a year formally to get together and go through goals and training and some of those things. But on a day-to-day basis, they're scattered all over Minnesota.
They are. We have 100-plus recruiters out there in 60-plus communities recruiting every day for us.
And so technology is pretty important today so you can stay in touch with all of those recruiters.
Technology and leadership, that's how they accomplish it.
And I imagine they're out working real closely with the schools and maybe the colleges. When I take a look at the diversity of Minnesota, the state has become pretty diverse. I've been studying this for a few years and asking your recruiters, but if you're supposed to match the complexion of the state, that's got to be a real challenge.
It is definitely a challenge. You know, some of the recruiters embrace it. I think the highlighting the areas and focusing in those parts of, you know, the metro community areas that have a Hmong population or a Hispanic population and focusing on those and getting the right recruiters in there really helps move that.
We're speaking with Chief Warrant Officer Eric Hamme on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Chief, let's talk about the enlisted soldiers that you need to bring in at the bottom. You continually have to feed soldiers in year after year after year and let them work up through the force. And hopefully you can keep the best and the brightest. And so you're out there trying to find those. That must be the bulk of the recruiting for each year.
Absolutely. That's really finding the baseline. We call them 10-level positions. They're the entry-level positions on all the jobs we have throughout the Minnesota National Guard. And they pick those. And, you know, the ones that qualify, we get into the right low-density or hard-to-fill jobs. And some of the others we fill are high-density ones like infantry armor, just to keep the force in a ready state for mobilization is what, you know, our ultimate goal is.
You also have to take into account you've got over 60 facilities in the state of Minnesota. You kind of need soldiers here and there. You kind of try to draw them from their home areas so they don't have to go too far to drill.
Yes, that's always a challenge, is finding, you know, a person in Thief River Falls, Minnesota, and making sure they're not drilling in Rochester. So as you move up in rank, you might have those opportunities, but on that young soldier, keeping them close, having them in their community and their guard in that city or area would be is ideal.
Now, Chief, I understand that when the soldiers enlist, you're also looking to put them in the proper MOS, military operations specialty, and in the right unit. So you've got a lot of factors coming together here, but those soldiers kind of stay within that and maybe transfer from one unit to another. And the officers, when they start out, and we're going to get to that in the second segment today, they stay in a job 2 or 3 years, and then they move to another job. And, of course, they're supposed to learn as many things as they can on the way up through the ranks. But the stability, I understand, comes from the warrant officers who kind of stay with their units longer.
Yeah, as a warrant officer, you know, you're a technical expert in your field, pulled from the NCO Corps. So usually somebody that's been in the Armory about 10 years plus. And once you get into those positions, typically a warrant officer has a little bit longer stability in an organization to provide continuity and to be the commander's advisor, really, is what they turn out to be in some of the technical specialties.
So within those units, as you get a new sergeant major or maybe you get a new commanding officer and issues come up, then they can call on the warrant officer and say, okay, has this come up before? What have we done about it? Do we have a policy on it? Let's look at it. And you can solve those problems a little bit quicker because you've been there a little longer and you know where the bodies are buried.
Absolutely.
Okay, Chief, tell me, where do the warrant officers come from?
Well, warrant officers come from two different ways. You know, about half of our warrant officers are technical warrant officers, meaning they have a specific skill set we're looking for, and we pull them out of the NCO Corps. So typically a staff sergeant or sergeant first class that's rated high in their job is somebody that might apply to be a warrant officer. The second set of them are aviators. Most of those don't come from NCOs because aviators, there's an age cutoff of about, well, it's 34, but we look for 30 and under really looking for it. So that's typically a younger population that doesn't need a specific skill set. They just need the desire and the physical abilities to be a pilot in the Army National Guard.
So if you've got warrant officer spots that you want to fill, you're going to study the NCOs within the Minnesota Army National Guard. Do you also go out to try to recruit some active duty, somebody coming off active duty that can come into the Guard?
Absolutely. We'll have qualified officers coming to our forces. So we work with the reserve components out there, the transition centers at the active duty posts. As a warrant officer comes off active duty and say they're moving to Minnesota, we try to offer them an opportunity to continue serving in the reserve component of the Army National Guard.
So just like a business that needs to recruit a special employee, if you've got some spots open for the aviators or if you've got some special spots open in say, tech, nobody has enough people to work in the IT field today.
Right.
Then you go out and take a look at some that maybe borrow them from another state or get them from active duty or bring them in wherever you can find them.
Absolutely.
So you're constantly working on that. And Chief, we just got about a minute left. When we come back, we want to talk about the officer corps. I was in the Air Force, and I've observed at that time and over the last 9 years that just like the enlisted, you start out with a lot of lieutenants, and as they go up to captains and majors and colonels, there's fewer and fewer and fewer, and hopefully only the best and the brightest get to be pinned that star on their uniform. So We'd like to find out just how you fill those slots in the officers' corps, and we'll do that when we come back.
Absolutely.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're speaking with Chief Warrant Officer Eric Hamme from the Minnesota Army National Guard's Recruiting and Retention Battalion. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today we've been talking to Chief Warrant Officer 4, Eric Hamme, from the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. And, Chief, we talked a little bit about there's three types of positions in the Army National Guard. There's your enlisted soldiers, the warrant officers, and then the officer corps. And within your battalion, it's spread all over the state, you've got to focus on where do we need, which unit needs people, soldiers, officers, and what specialties you need them in terms of what they're going to work on. And, of course, warrant officers, you need some pilots and those kind of things. So it's really a complicated goal, it sounds like, about where do we need people next and this month and next month and next year.
It absolutely is.
So somebody must be doing the statistics and in the data and sorting that out so that you can provide focus to all your recruiters on, if you're a recruiter in Thief River Falls or somebody down in Mankato, you know what you're looking for and have a good idea where to go find them.
Absolutely. There's a lot of metrics out there and data that we use through our Office of Personnel Management and our recruiting force alone as far as showing where our needs and where we need to focus efforts on.
So most of the people you're looking for are enlisted soldiers.
Yes.
And then you've got some warrant officer spots to fill from the NCO Corps inside or from active duty or other Guard reserves. And, of course, you said you bring in the pilots from outside or recruit them from inside if they're young enough.
Yep.
And we've gone through all of that. But now we've got the officer corps. And that's probably the smallest, maybe the second smallest. There's probably fewer warrant officers than there are officers, aren't there?
Yeah, way fewer. There
okay.
is.
So how many officers do we have in the Minnesota Army National Guard, roughly?
1,200 plus.
1,200. Okay, it's about 10% of the
yep.
force. And some of those retire, and some of them get out, and as they go up through the ranks, maybe don't make the cut. So how many officers do you have to plug in each year in order to keep current and have plenty of them moving through the pipeline?
Well, simple math in the officer corps is about 10% a year. So we look at 120, give or take a few, depending on separations for the year. So around 120 a year.
And what type of qualities you're looking for in people that you're trying to put into the officer corps?
Well, basic quality is at least 90 credits of college or a bachelor's degree to start out. Leaders, people that are driven. OCS is, you know, a basic training 2.0. So they're going through another very rigorous course. So somebody that's physically, mentally prepared for something like that. And somebody that can be a leader for the organization and be a figurehead for, you know, starting out as a platoon leader, moving all the way up to the Adjutant General of Minnesota, that all the way through that rank structure. So really a leader and somebody that's driven to do something more for the organization.
Now, do the MOS, do the military operational specialties come into play when you're looking for officers as well?
Well, no, not necessarily. So you can, if you're a current serving soldier, it really doesn't matter what your MOS is. When you become an officer, we go through a whole nother process and pick a branch, which is the MOS of the officer corps, pick a branch based on needs of the organization and wants of the soldier, and then fill it that way.
So if you're enlisted or an NCO and you're interested in becoming an officer, who's eligible?
Anybody eligible that's physically qualified, has a high enough score on their ASVAB, their Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery, their written test to come in the Army, and 90 credits at a minimum, a bachelor's degree is ultimately needed to stay an officer. So if you come in with 90 credits, you still have to finish your bachelor's degree within a certain amount of time to maintain staying an officer throughout your career.
So if you were enlisted, the NCO, and you were interested in applying to become an officer, how do they do that?
Well, they can contact their leadership or they can contact the Recruiting Retention Battalion, my office. I'm the Officer Strength Manager. I have basic branch recruiters, specialty branch recruiters, and warrant officer recruiter that work for me. So our office is the throughput that works that.
Now, Chief, you were telling me off the air when we were visiting that there are many ROTC candidates every year, and they have to go to some type of training that you're – can you tell me about that again?
Absolutely. So ROTC is one of our commissioning sources. It's the training corps through college. And between their third and fourth year of college, they go down to Fort Knox, Kentucky, and go through a thing called advanced camp, kind of their final checks and balances before their senior year graduating. Upon graduation, an ROTC cadet becomes a second lieutenant. And hopefully in our force, they can go active Army, U.S. Army Reserves, or Army National Guard. I want them all to come Army National Guard, but that's the salesman in me. So After that point, they become a lieutenant in the Minnesota National Guard, and then go through their next level of training and mesh into one of our organizations as a leader.
You know, you were telling me that each year there's about 10,000 of them down there.
Yes.
So you go down there and try to pick and choose. And
We try to convince ROTC cadets from other states' programs to maybe get their degree and come to Minnesota and be a lieutenant for us while, you know, working in this fine state of Minnesota and the Fortune 500 companies we have.
So, Chief, I want to ask you, if we've got our listeners out there, maybe in college or maybe just finished their undergraduate and perhaps they want to go on to medical school or something like that, are there special programs in the Minnesota National Guard that can help with that?
Absolutely. You know, it's a small set of folks that get into this, but we actually on Tuesday had the pleasure of swearing in a brand new lieutenant that's going to medical school, and the Army National Guard has really good benefits for a medical student going up to get his doctor.
So they have to make a commitment.
Absolutely, a commitment based on how much stipend they receive. So when they're going to college, when they start out as a medical student, they're getting an extra $2,200 a month while they're going to school. On the tail end of that adds a commitment. So a typical medical student will have to be a doctor with us around 8 years after they become a doctor, but they receive that benefit for that 4 years of medical school, which is
medical school paid for.
Right, absolutely.
8 years is easy.
Right.
Do that real well. Now, are there some specialties that you have trouble filling?
Trouble filling, there are a few. I don't want to say trouble filling. We're a combat armed state. We have a infantry division in the state. So our high need is infantry, armor, field artillery, engineers. But at this time, we actually have a pretty heavy need for logistics officers. So like transportation corps, ordnance and quartermasters. So, you know, if you're looking at Minnesota, I want everybody to understand that we're a combat armed state. So, you know, the leading edge of it, we're an infantry state. So obviously we need a lot of infantry officers. So that's the key. But we also have plenty of low density branches that we take officers in, also adjutant general corps, finance, military police. So there's options out there. We just need more of the combat arms every year and less of the specialty ones, but we get them every year.
So if you find an officer candidate that wants to be in logistics, do you send him up to General Cruz at Camp Ripley and say, check him out, General? Well, he loves logistics. He's really good at it.
Well, I don't quite send him to General Cruz, but there are some great branch managers out there that we have him talk with that point him down the right direction.
Yeah, we've had some great stories on Minnesota Military Radio over the years when you've taken hundreds, sometimes thousands of troops halfway across the world, and you've got to provide food, water, equipment, ammunition. It's a huge problem to plan all of that, get it ready, get everybody over there and get everything they need over there. And then we've been over to Kuwait twice and you take a look at it and the soldiers of the Minnesota Army National Guard know how to make themselves comfortable, even in the middle of the desert.
Absolutely.
So logistics is huge, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, sir, is there any other, is IT a big issue?
IT is, you know, the state brought on a cyber protection team. Well, it's standing up right now. It's more on the warrant officer side, but I'm looking for... Cyber is a big new branch out there in the Army, and that's the specialty that we're really looking for. More on the warrant side of it, because we have a lot of positions for warrant officers in the cyber protection team, but that's an up-and-coming branch that's only going to get bigger in the Army throughout the years.
So there's more and more jobs in the civilian side that are in IT, and there's lots of folks qualified.
Absolutely.
If they want to have some excitement, build some friendships, see the world, so to speak, they could be good candidates for an officer's position in the Minnesota Army National Guard.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Chief, I want to ask you, we've just got a couple of minutes left. You've been in the Army for 30-some years now.
Yes.
If you were to talk to some of our listeners out there that were thinking about an opportunity to join the military, what would you have to say, looking back on your years of service, and would you do it again?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I joined, it was 1986. I was 17 years old. You know, back then, I don't think I knew what life was going to be like in the future, and I maybe had a path that I wasn't going to go down. But the military was the one stable force through my life of transition. You know, this is my 33rd year, and I've loved every year of it. So, you know, look, the benefits to the Army National Guard are amazing. The ability to serve in your communities and be a local force that works for the governor of Minnesota for natural disasters and things we get called up for is a priceless thing that you can do to give back to your community, along with... You know, serving the military, the ultimate need for Army soldiers is to deploy in an austere environment, and that's what we train all our soldiers to do. So looking back, I have no regrets. I've loved every day of it.
Now, Chief, in all fairness to our listeners, deployments are part of being in the Minnesota Army or Air National Guard these days. If you're going to join, you're probably going to be deployed somewhere sometime.
Yes, absolutely.
And all the soldiers I've talked to and airmen look forward to it because mm-hmm. it's their opportunity to go out and shine
right.
and do what they've been trained to do and build their military family.
Right. And people look at deployments sometimes and they're nervous, but I think one of the best experiences I had was deploying to Afghanistan in 2012, and it all comes together, and your service to country really, really comes into play there when you're over in a foreign country halfway around the world.
Well, Chief, we're out of time. I want to thank you for your service, and thank you for joining us today.
All right.
That was Chief Foreign Officer 4, Eric Hommey, from the Minnesota Army National Guard Recruiting and Retention Battalion. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to learn about all the great work that Wells Fargo is doing within their veterans program. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about the Wells Fargo Military and Veterans Affairs Program. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Come visit the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, also known as MDVA, for the Great Minnesota Get-Together. The department will host a booth on the south side of the 4-H building for the duration of the state fair. Our staff will be on site with county veteran service officers to ensure veterans who stop by get the best knowledge, resources, and referrals in terms of state and federal benefits. Other groups represented include the veteran service organization partners like the VFW, the American Legion, and the Disabled American Veterans. Learn more about MDVA and how we fulfill our mission of serving Minnesota veterans and their families. We hope to see you there.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now are two gentlemen from Wells Fargo, which is a Yellow Ribbon company. It became a Yellow Ribbon company on September 5th, 2013. So we have in the studio Alan Dix and John Epstein. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom.
Alan, I'm going to start with you because I think you were in the Navy.
I was.
How long were you in the Navy and what'd you do?
24 years. I retired in 2015. And when I was active duty, I was an electronics technician. And in the reserve, I was an intelligence specialist.
So you joined the Navy. Did you see the world, as they say?
Saw parts of it, yeah.
On some ships and traveling around?
One ship and the rest of the world 2 weeks at a time.
All right. What ship? I just want to know.
USS Ticonderoga.
Ticonderoga. Very good. How'd you get to Wells Fargo?
I actually started with Wells Fargo about a year before I retired from the reserve as a contractor. And then as I got closer to retirement, I wasn't going to get my Navy reserve benefits anymore. So I tried really hard and got hired as an employee.
So you knew you had to work longer.
I'm not ready to retire yet, yeah.
Now, does Wells Fargo know you were in the Navy?
They do.
And they hired you anyway?
They did.
Very good. Very good. Sorry, all of my listeners know I was in the Air Force, and we like to have some fun with the Navy and the Marine Corps, so no harm given there.
No, absolutely not.
All right. Now, I understand that are you currently serving on the internal veteran team network?
Exactly. The Wells Fargo has a veterans team member network that is nationwide, and I chair the Minnesota chapter of that network.
Very good, and we're going to talk about that when we come back, but I want to talk to John for a minute. John, how long have you been at Wells Fargo?
Tom, I've been at Wells Fargo for 12 going on 13 years.
Okay, and when Wells Fargo became Yellow Ribbon, they made a commitment to hire veterans.
That's correct.
And you're a recruiter.
I am.
So is your specialty going out looking for veterans then?
Absolutely. Veterans, and not only looking for them, but even supporting them in terms of how they go about seeking employment. You know, what's the process? What are the best practices? How can I translate my skills that I've attained through, you know, their time in the service? And how does that translate to the private sector, the civilian world?
So, Navy, I want to come back to you. I'm not even going to call you John. You're Navy.
Alan.
Alan. I'm sorry. He's John. You're Alan.
Yep.
But, Navy, how are we doing? Wells Fargo made that commitment. You know, how have they done in the last 6 years?
We're doing fairly well. We made a commitment to hire 20,000 veterans by the year 2020. It's a sprint now to make that. But we have hired 10,800 veterans is the number that we're using right now. But what we're trying to do is get as close to that 20,000 as we can.
Now, Wells Fargo is a big company, a big bank, a lot of interests, a lot of things they do. Are these numbers you're talking about, these veterans, are they did they self-identify as veterans?
We do ask that our veterans self-identify. It's not a requirement, however. So we know that we actually have more veteran employees than we're officially recognizing on paper.
So you know you've got over 10,000, but you may have significantly more.
That's correct.
Okay, and I know that Wells Fargo also has a program where they're donating homes to veterans. Can you tell us about that?
Wells Fargo has several programs, but there is a housing foundation that is donating homes across the nation. There's been several here just in Minnesota in the last few years, and that is usually something that happens during the state fair on Military Appreciation Day, is when a veteran is actually up on stage receiving the keys for a payment-free home.
And we had one of your guys, John Hobart, on last year at Military Appreciation mm-hmm. Day when we recorded the two shows from the state fair, and they were telling us about all the things they did that day, and I think they had a vehicle out there too.
Exactly. The recipient of the vehicle had received a home previously and was going back to school and needed a vehicle as well. And so not only did Wells Fargo provide that whole family, his young daughter, but now he has a payment-free home and a payment-free car.
Very good, and we hope you keep up, Wells Fargo keeps up those initiatives. And John, I know that Wells Fargo is looking to hire people. These day and age, you know, the employment rate is down as low as it's been in my lifetime. But you're looking for good people. You're looking for good team members. You're looking for veterans. How do you go about finding them?
Good question. A lot of different avenues, whether it's, as they voluntarily apply, have a way to be able to filter out who the veterans are. We do some proactive outreach through that. And then we do a lot of proactive outreach in terms of getting with the different community organizations, veteran focus or military service member organizations. We work with them, again, from the coaching aspect to helping them get connected. We also have a specific military talent liaison team that we have that works strictly with trying to fit the different talents and skills that military veterans have, and then getting them plugged into all the various, as you had referred to earlier, the various areas that Wells Fargo has where we can employ them and use their skills.
I know you participate in some job fairs and some other things. Deed puts on some programs. You've been at Wells Fargo for a while now. How are they as an employer? How is it to work at Wells Fargo?
Appreciate the question. In terms of how they are as an employer, it's actually one of the reasons I personally decided to, in my mid-early 30s, decided to join myself because I had made some calls, found out about the different benefits to be able to, decide whether I would be able to serve. Different people like myself have families that we got to worry about in terms of a paycheck to make sure that they're fed and all that. And I realized that, joining the service is going to require a commitment in terms of time and away from the job. And Wells Fargo does a great job in terms of going above and beyond the USERRA Act, which, essentially protects someone's job. But I say that they go above and beyond because they do things like pay differentials. So if the military doesn't pay me to where Wells Fargo, is paying me in terms of my base pay, Wells Fargo will pay the difference so that I'm still making the same amount of, income so that my family is taken care of.
So Wells Fargo has been a member of the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, the ESGR. And, of course, you were talking about the above and beyond and in obeying all the laws that regulate how they treat members of the Guard and Reserve and the military. And I know that I've emceed a few of those banquets each year. And Wells Fargo's received some awards for treating their veterans and their service members and their families very well. So you were encouraged then to go ahead and apply to become a member of the Minnesota Army National Guard.
Absolutely.
And you're working on that. Are you sure your family's ready for that?
I mean, there are still some of the pieces that, an employer can't necessarily, things that they can't mitigate, right? Time away, events missed or whatnot. But overall, they're very supportive. I also come from a military family. I'm a Army brat. I love to brag about that. It's a part of who I am. And so they understand.
And you understand what you're getting into, and hopefully your family does as well.
Absolutely, yes. I'm very keenly aware. I ask tons of questions. I understand the operational tempo is definitely, you know, up there.
So. Navy, we just about got a minute left. You've spent a career in the Navy. Have you counseled this guy about what he's getting into over there?
I've talked to him, and I can't help him. He's made a decision that he's going to have to live with.
You can't help him because he's going into the Army National Guard and he's not going to the Navy? All right.
Exactly.
Here we go. Inter-service rivalry right here in the studio on Minnesota Military Radio. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Wells Fargo and all the great things they're doing over there. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Alan Dix, who is the veteran team member in charge of the veteran team inside of Wells Fargo and in the Navy. So if I say Navy, that's him. And John Abston, who is a recruiter and applying to become an officer in the Minnesota Army National Guard. Navy, I want to come back to you. I understand that Wells Fargo has recently done some great work with MACV, Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans.
MACV is one of our favorite groups to work with. Their mission, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, is to end veteran homelessness in Minnesota by figuring out why veterans are homeless and solving those problems.
And so the governor wants it done this year.
They go way beyond just finding housing.
And they're not only trying to get the veterans off the streets and into housing and then find a job, they're also trying to find veterans that are suffering some kind of problem, whether it's legal, PTSD, whatever it is, and catch them before they hit the bottom.
Exactly.
So that they don't lose their housing.
Exactly. At-risk veterans are just as important as veterans that are homeless. So their mission is to take care of both ends of that spectrum.
And Wells Fargo recently came up with some funds to help MACV.
They did. A veterans win grant was just announced, and MACV is going to get $40,000 this year to put towards veteran housing that's going to add to the solution and have more available housing for at-risk and homeless veterans.
Well, very good. As a member of the veterans group within Wells Fargo, that's got to make you feel pretty good.
It is great. We love to see the results of our efforts, and then when MACV does a press release and says there's only 7 or 8 female veterans homeless right now.
Now tell me a little bit within the veterans team member network within Wells Fargo. What all do you do?
The main thing that we do is the yearly stand down. This year it'll be at Target Field on August 16th.
And just that's the MACV stand down where they bring in
all the
homeless veterans.
Veterans
and anybody that needs help.
And the providers are there. They'll be right there at Target Field so they can get legal help. They can get medical, dental, haircuts. They can get haircuts for free.
And so you provide volunteers for that effort?
Exactly. Setting it up, tearing it down, manning the stations, pretty much anything that they need.
When's that coming up this year?
August 16th.
August 16th. It's going to be where?
At Target Field.
Target Field. That's a new location, I think, for
them. It is.
And you can fit a lot of folks in there.
We can, and we plan to.
Well, Navy, good work. We got to go talk to this officer candidate over here, John. And John, can you tell us, I know you're a recruiter over there. But what else do you want to talk about that Wells Fargo has done to make that a great place for veterans to work?
For me, I mean, there's just so many variables that any individual has to deal with when deciding to serve this great nation. And so to have an employer that absolutely supports you from a employment transition standpoint to especially, you know, when I know I have to train and it's not necessarily a deployment and training is no less important because that's what helps us prepare for deployment, knowing that they'll, protect my job and then even, allow me to take time off of work to make sure that I can travel and get there down to even the most foundational piece of financial support, making sure my family is taken care of. That's pretty much a no-brainer for me, especially if you have any feeling inside of wanting to serve this nation.
It's got to make those veterans that join the Wells Fargo team comfortable knowing that you've got an internal veterans network, that they can find other veterans within Wells Fargo and have some immediate connection.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm part of the Veteran Team Member Network as well. And when we talk, you know, in our different events that we attend, that's absolutely what keeps us together and, you know, keeps our morale strong and allows us to go out and do different activities to support the community as well.
Navy is pretty important. I never met you before a couple hours ago, but we've been taking shots at each other the whole time because I was Air Force and you were Navy. There's that immediate connection, isn't there?
As soon as you meet a veteran and looking at people, you can sometimes tell they're a veteran and you know they're ready to go as soon as you're aware.
Very good. We just got a few seconds left. John, any final thoughts for our listeners?
Not right off the top of my head. I mean, aside from definitely take a look at Wells Fargo in terms of employment opportunities. Like I said, it's a nice safe haven if you want to be able to do both. And you can give back in multiple ways, not only necessarily by serving, but by being part of a team and being part of our team member network.
Very good, sir. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
That was our Navy veteran, Alan Dix from Wells Fargo, and our officer candidate for the Minnesota Army National Guard, John Abston. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to the studio. It's been a while since we've seen you.
Thank you, Tom. It has been. It's been a busy summer.
Summertime in Minnesota, I suppose that means you've been out on that motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. I very seldom get the truck out anymore.
Even when it's raining, Tim?
Well, no, actually, the other day, no.
No. Got to be out there on that motor scooter.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we've said this before, and we want to just ask you again. Minnesota Patriot Guard riders, they don't have to be Vietnam veterans. Nope. They can be anybody.
Yep. They don't even need to ride a motorcycle.
They can arrive by parachute?
They can come in any way they want. We just want them there. Or in a 3x5 flag.
Or in a truck, like my cage, you call it.
Yeah, you can come in a cage. We're happy to have anybody that can come out.
All right, so who's eligible to join and how do they join?
Anybody can join. And all you have to do is go to our website, mnpatriotguard.org. And on the left-hand side, it says join us. Just click on that link and follow all the prompts and you'll be a member. And just we'll send you out emails telling you what's going on in your area or on the state. We have a calendar there. You can pick and choose what you can go to, and you're welcome to come to anything that's there.
So once they sign up, they get notification of these missions. If they think they can go to one, what do they do next?
They show up. They'll get a notification of what it's about, what time, where it's at, where to stage. And you just show up there with a 3x5 flag and the ride captain, the guy in charge of that mission. He'll just direct everybody and let them know what the family wants us to do.
Tim, most of your riders also have a vest. Do they buy those from the Patriot Guard store?
Well, actually, you have your own vest, and we sell patches at our store. You're welcome to use them anytime you have a mission. We would rather you not wear them to other things that don't pertain to the mission. But
just wear them when you're on duty.
Just wear them when you're on duty. It's an honor to be there.
Most of your missions are going to be funerals for our veterans.
Unfortunately, yes.
And there's another essential piece of gear, and that's the dark glasses.
The dark glasses. Oh, yeah. Dark glasses come in handy. We don't necessarily have to have sunlight to be wearing our dark glasses. They're there to keep the sun out and
keep
tears
your emotions
in.
Yep, I understand. Now, besides that, you also go to deployment ceremonies.
We do.
And you went to one recently.
We did. We just went to the 492nd unit out of Mankato, and they did an escort all the way to MSP. And actually, the whole National Guard and Patriot Guard just appreciates all the support we got from all the counties and all the cities all the way up to the airport.
Now, did a lot of riders show up for that one?
We had a good number.
Good number. All right. And I understand we repatriated a Korean War veteran.
We did. 1950 was when he was killed.
And where was he from?
Actually, he was from Western Wisconsin.
Western Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we do a lot of stuff for the Western Wisconsin because we're closer than Milwaukee.
So the Wisconsin and Minnesota Patriot Guard riders cooperate.
We have no borders. Showing honor to a fallen soldier really doesn't have any borders.
And especially one coming back from Korea, the Korean War.
Yes.
It's all about what? Honor?
Honor, dignity, and respect.
Did a lot of folks show up for that one? I understand
yes.
They usually do.
Yeah, they usually do because they understand that this family has been missing this person for, in this case, you know, 40-some years.
70 years.
Oh, 70 years. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I'm here to count, Tim. You're here to tell the story, so that's okay.
Yeah.
But, Tim, I know that's your favorite mission.
Welcome homes.
Welcome homes, and we just brought back the whole division.
Yes, we did, you know. And it's just you wouldn't believe how wonderful it is to see family members meeting back up with their military personnel. It's just like in the movies when you see them getting off the ship.
And the soldiers tell me that when they see their families, they're happy. But when they see all those Patriot Guard riders there that don't have to be there, but they're there with their flags, then they know that people have been following them, they care about them, and they're happy to have them back.
We do. You know, those are the people that are out there protecting our freedoms. And it's the least the American people can do for their military.
So one more time, Tim, if people want to join the Patriot Guard and become a rider, what's your website?
MNPatriotGuard.org.
And just go there and hit the click on sign up and go to one of these things. Tim, we've got about 30 seconds left. Did you have a good Patriot ride this year?
We did. A wonderful ride. There's a lot of people. Beautiful day. We just had a really good time.
Well, and I didn't get notified, so I must not have won that motorcycle.
No.
That's all right. I don't ride one anyway, Tim.
Well, it's a motorcycle or $15,000.
Well, didn't have to make the choice. Tim, I want to thank you for joining us in the studio again, and I want to thank all of the Patriot Guard riders in Minnesota for all the missions they go on.
From all of us, thank you, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Chief Warrant Officer 4 Eric Hammie, Alan Dix, John Epstein, Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we record live from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, Tuesday, August 27th. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.